What is your biggest financial concern? Are you being as intentional with your finances as you could be? How confident are you that you'll reach your financial goals? How will life's transitions impact your financial plan? Welcome to the Clarity and Confidence for Life podcast with Tom Fleischel, founder, president, and CEO of Fleischel Financial Associates. Discover how we can help business owners, successful families, and corporate executives achieve clarity and confidence for life while providing tailored financial solutions that eliminate complexity and free you up to focus on what really matters in life to you and your family. Now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome to the Clarity and Confidence for Life podcast with your host, Tom Fleischel. I'm RJ Malik, producer of this podcast. Tom, how you doing today?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay, great. I see you have a guest. So why don't you do the honors of introducing her and you go from there?
So today we have an amazing guest panelist, Brittany Anderson. Brittany is not only a longtime friend of Fleischel Financial Associates, but she's president and partner at Sweet Financial Partners, co-founder of Dare to Dream Enterprises, and the co-founder of Ultimate Advisor Coaching. So thank you, Brittany, for joining us today. We're excited about this.
Well, I will tell you, I have been looking forward to this conversation, Tom.
Well, you have so much to bring to the table. I've listened to your podcast for a long time and all the content that you guys bring. So we're really excited to have you today. So you're currently the president and partner at Sweet Financial in lovely Fairmont, Minnesota, a place I've actually visited and toured your office there, I'll say, in the summertime. I'm not sure I'd want to visit it there in the wintertime. So I'd love for you to share just how you got started, kind of as we roll out of this. How did you get started with Sweet Financial? What was your role there? And what was the progression of your career at that firm?
Yeah, so you are correct, Tom. You do not want to come here in the middle of winter. I will clarify that first. So my journey, it's an interesting one. So I was fresh out of college, thought for sure that I would be in the corporate world. I was actually managing a jewelry store at a young age. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to climb the ladder. And I quickly found out that I don't do well fitting inside of a box. So started looking for opportunities and saw this awesome job ad. And at the time, I didn't really know what it was that was different. But in hindsight, looking back, it was definitely the entrepreneurial spirit that drew me in. So I started with Sweet Financial as a client service associate. I was supporting one of the advisors. And after a period of time, while I loved dealing with the clients, I loved supporting the advisor, I really missed kind of that leadership component. So opportunity arose and I was able to step into the operations manager type role. The gal that was in that position before, she was moving to be closer to her kids. And there's a little bit of a funny story here. And I have to pick on Brian Sweet for a minute, our founder. So when that role opened, they had actually hired a recruiter and they're offering Mercedes-Benz and all kinds of incentives for somebody to move to Southern Minnesota and run this firm. And I sheepishly raised my hand. I'm like, you know, young 20-something year old Brittany Anderson, or wasn't Anderson at the time, but raised my hand. Yeah. And I said, you know, I think I could do it. I think this is up my alley. So I got an interview with the recruiter and she went to Brian and was like, what are you doing? Like, put Brittany in the role. She's absolutely capable. This would be a great fit. And Brian's response was like, are you sure? I hadn't worked closely with him. So we laugh about it now, but I've never gotten that Mercedes, I will tell you.
Oh, come on.
I know, what the heck. So over time, I've grown into, I was the COO and now I am president and one of four partners. And it's just been a really interesting journey. You know, I think this industry is fabulous. I think that you and your office, Tom, are a testament to that too, that there's so much that can be done in the industry and there's so much impact that can be made. So it's been cool to be part of that.
I wanted to go back to how you actually got that start with the firm. Now, were you recruited or did you, how did you find the opening for that client service associate role?
You know, I was just scouting some of the open job ads. Where I lived, I actually lived in the same town that our office, Sweet Financial, is in. But at the time, I was working about an hour away. And so I was contemplating, I'm like, not only do I feel a little bit stifled in this whole corporate hierarchy kind of thing, but also I was getting tired of driving every day. So I stumbled upon it. I was looking for openings in the area, and I will tell you that at that time, there was, definitely a plethora of opportunities in and around the area that I lived in. But this one stood out. This one was, again, it just felt different. You mentioned being at the office, and you even coming into the office can experience the difference in just the beauty of the building and the people inside and how you're greeted and dealt with. So that was a huge attraction for me, is how they wrote the job ad and really just how they've kept up the presence of that beautiful building.
Absolutely. It is a beautiful building, and you guys have done a great job with that. So I recall that the founder, Brian Sweet, invested very intentionally in your development there and spending a lot of money on coaching and programs and all kinds of things. So tell us about that and how did all get that get started?
Yeah, it's interesting because he would go to this crazy entrepreneurial, call it meeting, called Strategic Coach. And he'd come back every quarter and we'd have a whole bunch of tools, worksheets, and things that he'd go through. And as he was going through them, I definitely sparked an interest. I'm like, okay, what's behind this? I'm curious. So I signed up. I was part of their let me think about what it was called. Kind of their operations type role, leadership training. Moved into actually their entrepreneurial training, and that was really where the door opened for me as far as coaching and development and my own kind of personal development goes. Brian and I too, as a recommendation from Dan Sullivan, the creator, founder of Strategic Coach, talked about this crazy group called Genius Network. And that's another big entrepreneurial space, ran by Joe Polish. So Brian and I kind of together had this joint call. He's like, if I'm going to join, I think you should join too. I think we should do this together. And I think there's interesting opportunity. There's some things we were building out at the time. And that's what we did. We qualified, we got into the group, and you're right. I think that, as a company, we believe in investing in our team, and it doesn't stop, on anybody. I mean, it's leaders, it's team members. And Tom, I know you very much embrace that as well and share that mentality that, if you're not learning and growing, you're dying. So let's keep the first going strong.
You know, a lot of our listeners are business owners, and that Strategic Coach program has been hugely instrumental in our growth over the years and our development and all the tools. Still use all the tools. I haven't been as active lately in the program directly, but our team still uses so much of their tools, so many of their tools that they've brought out. I love it. And then the Genius Network is something I've just listened to a lot of the podcasts and information coming off of that, and that's impressive. So that was a lot of money that he spent and invested in you to get you to where you are. And, it's just amazing. Now, how old were you when you started as the COO?
Gosh, I was probably, that is such a great question. I was probably 30, maybe early 30s is when I stepped into that COO role and was there for a handful of years and moved into the president role.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's a wonderful program. So the other thing that you developed and with Brian was the Ultimate Advisor Coaching Program, which we've been a part of for a number of years, kind of as it got it rolling. It's taken our practice light years ahead. The coaching, the special speakers, the accountability. So tell us about what led you to get involved with that program and get that started.
Yeah. So actually rewind to another cool thing that I've been able to be part of. Brian Sweet, alongside another gentleman, high performer in the industry, they created a conference about 7 years ago called the Elite Wealth Advisor Symposium. And I happened to speak at that particular symposium on the topic of culture and engagement and how to deal with, tough conversations, all those good things. So it was myself and then Dre Redfern, another partner, now an ultimate advisor. He also did a presentation, and his was all on the cool, sexy things that come with marketing. So afterwards, multiple advisors in that room, there was about 100 advisors in that particular session. They approach Brian after and they're like, okay, we love what Brittany just shared. We love what Dre shared. How do we get the best of that? Like, where'd you find them? What's going on? Help us connect the dots here. And so we all came together and said, you know what? Why don't we create a coaching program? Why don't we bring together kind of all elements and go beyond just basic practice management and really help people, you know, grow as individuals, but also grow their business and grow their talent and grow their capabilities and their reach and all of those great things. So that's really where it was born, was basically the exposure of what, you know, our own, you know, playing on strategic coach again, our unique abilities are. Mine has definitely been in people and engagement and getting people excited and rallied around ideas. And Dre has been great with the marketing component, and Brian had the reach with the advisor audience. So that's where Ultimate Advisor was ultimately born.
I believe I was in that session. Do you remember where that was? Because I believe I was in that particular session that occurred.
Yeah, so that one would have been in Miami. It was at, I can't remember the name of the hotel, but it was a smaller hotel in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really cool. You know, and that whole idea about the unique ability is something that we're wanting to re-engage our team with, because I think that's so important for people to get clear on that. It's not an easy process. You know, you go through, tell us about how you helped your team develop their own unique ability using that tool in the process.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting dynamic when you're going through the unique ability exercise. And I think that Strategic Coach has this nailed so well. So basically, the gist of it is you have people break down, call it their capabilities, the things that they love doing, into four different quadrants. Number one is being your ultimate, like, what excites you, what gets you out of bed, what could you work on endlessly that if you never made a dime, you would still want to do it because you love it so much. Then you move into what they call your excellent activities. And the best way to think about that is that essentially things that you are recognized for being great at, but maybe don't really fill your bucket. You know you're good at it. You know you can own it. You know that you do a great job, but it doesn't necessarily give you that energy and that zip of excitement. Then you bounce down into your competent activities, the things that you get by, right? Like me and a spreadsheet, I can do it. Am I going to ever be fancy and create pivot tables and all those good things? Absolutely not. Yeah. But could I be competent enough to navigate it? Sure. And then you move into your incompetent activities. And those are the things that, you know, you loathe, that cause frustrations, not just for you, but for people around you. And there's just things that, you know, that's not my cup of tea. That's not where I should be. So when you go to implement this with a team, you can imagine that there are some challenges. Number one, it can be really hard for people to think about what work they do that really gives them this endless energy and excitement, especially when they're not the owner. So the spin that I've put on it is I've asked team members, hey, you know what? If there's not something you can think of in your current role that just zips you right out of bed in the morning, that's okay. Write down the things that do. And sometimes that brainstorm of the things that give them that high energy, that get them excited, it can help stimulate conversations for even movement in the company. That's where opportunities can be born, where you have somebody that's maybe in client service that should be in a marketing role, or a marketing role that should be in an operations role, or, you know, the waterfall just kind of happens. Then on the flip side of that, there's not many people that love to write down things that they are incompetent at. That typically is a word where people are like, what? Like that feels a little bit, you know, degrading, insulting. I don't think I'm incompetent at anything. And the biggest point that I can make is that we all have incompetencies. Again, going to Dan Sullivan, Strategic Coach, he has the saying about, you know, if you work on your weaknesses, all you're ever going to have is strong weaknesses. So let's get those things off your plate that are causing you and me frustrations. And let's start focusing on the things that are great. You know, maybe you haven't found your true unique ability yet, but let's work on the things that are excellent then. And let's put effort into that versus beating our heads against a wall on something that's probably only ever going to be mediocre, even if you put a ton of time, energy, and attention into it. So I think that when you're looking at implementing these concepts with teams, it's all about conversation. And I think sometimes people will use the tools too much as a fallback, where, you know, you just use them for face value. And I think they deserve conversation. I think they deserve, you know, a higher attention than just here, fill this out and let me collect it. You know, I think that can happen sometimes, and that can be where things fall short and people just don't connect with the tools and the resources that can really be huge catalysts for their growth.
I remember the part that is interesting where you send out, you know, a quick letter to 15 or 20 of your past colleagues and friends and folks that you've worked with and ask them, what do you think is my unique ability? It's very interesting what you hear back on that. And I haven't done that in a long time. I probably need to redo it again just to kind of, and to get our team to redo it. But then you have to kind of cipher down all those comments into a one or two sentence unique ability, which is the really challenging part of it. That's where you really have, you know, to really get granular and, okay, how does this really, you get brought down into a simple statement that I can share, that I can, and also what we like to know is, how does your unique ability contribute to our team success overall? What part does that play in our team? So all those things are, I think, critical.
Yeah. And Tom, I think you bring up such a great point there too. I actually forgot about the part where you can kind of crowdsource, I guess you could say, where you reach out to different people. And I think the one thing to be careful with there is, again, it goes back to that unique ability versus the excellent. So, you know, people often recognize the excellent things in you. But again, when you're doing that analysis and you're trying to weed it down and you're trying to narrow it down to truly what your unique ability is, it can be a little bit challenging if you're trying to fit the mold of what other people think. So really getting to that core of, okay, these are the things that I'm excited about, not just that what people recognize in me. It's a great starting point and it's a great exercise, but really drilling into and going introspective on what matters most to you and what really gets you excited. So yeah, that is an interesting exercise to go through.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the Dare to Dream Enterprises. I don't know a lot about this, but what is it and what was your inspiration to get that started?
Yeah, so it's funny because truly at the most simplistic description, Dare to Dream Enterprises is an entity. It's an entity to house all of the different ideas. And truly, to be honest, when Brian and I were first talking about this whole world of coaching and mentorship and masterminding and all these things, we needed a place to house it. And it's one of those things too, where I am your proverbial entrepreneurial spirit. I love great ideas and I love new ideas and new ways of impact. And it gets really exciting, but we needed a place to house it. And really, the naming of the entity is all centered around, no matter what we're doing, no matter who we're serving, really the greater purpose is helping people to dream even bigger, to help people to pursue what matters most to them. So whether it is coaching, whether it's speaking on a stage, whether it's, you know, different networking events or health events or whatever it is that we're hosting, that's a great reminder as to why we're doing what we do, why we have all the different initiatives that we have and the different businesses that we've got. It's really about helping push people into their fullest potential and realize that, you know, hey, we only get one shot at life. We only get one go around the sun. So let's make it worth it and let's dream big together.
So what are the types of people that most benefit from this Dare to Dream Enterprises?
Yeah. So honestly, that's a little bit of a broad range, I guess, answer to that question. So right now, the way I look at it is there's a few different things that I'm actively doing right now. I do take on a handful of individual coaching clients. And those are really people that are looking for ways to really simplify and close their blind spots. You know, that's one thing that I've learned in coaching advisors over the years and really coaching people from all different industries is we are all way too stinking close to our own problems and we're way too stinking close to our own opportunities. So sometimes having that bird's eye view to be able to have somebody come in to look at the full picture, kind of hover above it and show you where those blind spots or those gaps are, that can be monumental to your growth and impact. I will say for me, hiring a coach was one of the biggest investments I've ever made, but one of the best investments I've ever made. Having somebody to hold you to the fire, to uncover what you really want, and then to actually help you be accountable to that, that's where real growth lies. And that's where real opportunity lies. So that's one way under kind of the Dare to Dream umbrella. I also speak on stages too. And that's something that I've done kind of haphazardly for many years. And, you know, more and more I've had opportunities to get in front of great crowds. I just spoke at a hospitality conference for all of their leaders. And there was a couple hundred amazing people in the group. We had so much fun together. Mm. And again, it's all the same messaging, regardless of the company. It's about inspiring people. It's about meeting people where they're at and finding out what matters to them, and then getting them aligned to your company vision. Because if they see purpose in what they're doing, and they see that it aligns with their own goals, their own big dreams for their future, man, that's a recipe for greatness. And that's where, again, you get massive leaps of growth in companies. You get people all in and engaged and bought into the vision and really excited. So those are a couple things that kind of lay under that Dare to Dream umbrella. And then, of course, we have just different, I would call it small event opportunities. And there's one component, and I promise I won't go deep down this rabbit hole, Tom, but I have to touch on it. And it's in that topic of health. And I know, Tom, that you know, like, health and wealth can be so synonymous in many ways, because if we have all the wealth in the world, then our health plummets. It's not worth a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And if you know, on the flip side of it, you have great health, but you don't have the means to do great things, that can be kind of a bummer too. So these two things are so coincided. So we do host on occasion different kind of intimate health and longevity focused events. I am by no means an expert in that space. Neither is my business partner, Brian, but we've met some really cool people along the way that are. So we've brought people to clinics in both Dallas and Salt Lake City, where people have explored, you know, alternative therapies and different ways to prolong lifespan and to really take a proactive stance on their health. So this one can sometimes feel a little out of left field for people. But again, with everything mm-hmm. that we're working on, it goes back to the core of, how do we help people pursue their dreams, and how do we help people actually reach them? Health is such a massive component of that. So it's been fun. It's all about collaborations.
So Dare to Dream is a coaching program that you coordinate alone, or is there other people involved?
Yeah. So basically with Dare to Dream as the entity or the enterprise, that kind of houses all the different things that we do. So right now, yes, I alone do take one-on-one coaching on occasion. There's not a whole lot of those spots that I keep open, just because time is a beautiful thing that I like to protect. Mm-hmm. So there are a handful of those that I do. So right now it is just me. And then outside of that, I actually have a full network for highly successful female founders, CEOs, and entrepreneurs with a business partner in the UK, where we basically are bringing together some of the brightest female minds from across the world and creating intentional connections and networking and helping them pursue their best definition of success. So all these things, I know it feels like there's a lot of different things going on, but really it's all encompassing, where we're helping people become the best versions of themselves. We're helping really smart business owners to grow their businesses, be it in the advisor space, be it in, you know, just business in general, kind of across the globe at this point. So it's been a fun involvement.
Wow. So you've got a ton of things to juggle in your life. You got a family, you have multiple businesses. Yeah. You know, how do you stay focused and manage a work-life balance with all that going on?
Yeah. You know, that is the number one question, is I like to say it's managing my juggle struggle. you know, really what it boils down to is, it can seem like, and it is oftentimes a lot. I would be lying to your face if I said it wasn't a lot at times. However, I'm a big believer in going back to your values and using that as your decision-making mechanism. So for me, you know, while I am involved in a lot of different things and, you know, I'm so grateful for that. And I have three young babies. I mean, they're not babies anymore, 10, mm-hmm. 7, and 5. Mm-hmm. And I have a husband and all these great things. You know, for me, it's making sure that I'm super intentional with that teeter-totter in life. You know, I look at it as when we're kids, and we're on the teeter-totter. It's fun when you can get it to go up and down and one person's flying and you're bouncing off the ground. And then there's this game that you play where you try to get it so you level set it, right? So you get weight evenly distributed on each side. And I really look at this as that balance of life. Is that kind of a steady state is only fun for so long. So you got to let that teeter-totter go back up and down again. Mm-hmm. And my biggest thing is I don't want one end of the teeter-totter to be constantly weighted down over the other. So I'm constantly looking at ebb and flow. I'm looking at what requires my attention right now. Where am I most needed? And it goes back to setting that top three priorities. You know, if you have more than that, you have none. So on any given day, I might be focused on being a great mom, getting a workout in, and maybe getting a little bit done in one of the businesses. And in another day, I might have three businesses on my plate where that's my core focus. And my kids are hanging out with my husband or, you know, my mother-in-law or whatever. So it's all about ebb and flow and just being super intentional with where your focus is, not allowing distractions to get in the way. And just remembering that teeter-totter of life has to go up and down. And it makes mm-hmm. it fun. It makes it fun. And I don't believe in that perfect balance. I think that it doesn't exist. What exists is your values, staying true to who you are and making decisions based on those.
What's been your most challenging part of serving in all those multiple roles?
Yeah. You know, the biggest challenge I would honestly say initially going back to kind of the early stages of all these businesses evolving, definitely my time, attention, and energy. Managing your energy between different, call it roles, responsibilities, it can be a challenge. And I'm a firm believer, you know, I look at the high achieved brain, for example. We tend to want to do everything at 115%. We want to be all in all the time. And we want to go a million miles an hour. And if you can't keep up, you sure as heck better get out of the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's how we're wired. I have been going through a lot of, you know, introspection lately. And I had to ask myself this question of what would happen? Let's go back to grade school. What would happen if I allowed myself to operate at 90% once in a while? Still an A. Still above and beyond the vast majority of how people operate. But what would happen if I pulled that back a little bit? So that really kind of reserves that 10% to hopefully avoid some level of burnout. Because when we're going 100, 110, 120% all the time, it's not sustainable. It feels good for a little bit, but it's not sustainable. The other side of that, when I think about this kind of 90-10 analogy, is when we're giving all of ourselves to our work, because as our friend Joe Polish, the founder of Genius Network, says, the most accepted form of addiction is workaholism, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're going a million miles an hour there, and then we get home and we basically give what's left, and I have been guilty of this, where you maybe have 10% on a good day, where you're like, I can't anymore. I can't with anything else. I don't have the energy. I don't have the attention span. I'm burnt out. I can't make any decisions. That's not fair, right? If we had a team member as business owners, if we had a team member that consistently showed up at 10% of their capacity, what would we do? We'd fire them, right? Yeah. Or we'd start by trying to figure out what the heck is going on, but yeah. They wouldn't be able to stay there. Why do we let ourselves stay in that state in our home? Because we can't necessarily get fired. I mean, there's ways you kind of can, but you can't in the traditional sense. So that's really where I've been putting my time and attention is how do you best manage your energy? And certain things deserve your energy more than others, and it can be hard, but that pullback is really the only thing that's been able to at least give me the chance to give myself a little grace and show up even better for those around me that are most important.
You know, now, do you think This is an honest question I wanted to ask. You know, you're an established young woman. You work with a lot of other women to dare to dream. Do you think women have a little bit more of a challenge in balancing all those aspects of their life than men do? And how do you address that? Because, you know, you've got all these priorities, you know, and how do you juggle all those? But, you know, how, what would you like to share with other women who dare to dream and to manage those same kind of priorities?
Yeah. You know, I love this question. And I am definitely, you know, even though I've got a group that I've created where I support women, I try to be a model to women all around me. I've done mentorship opportunities with young ladies. I'm not one of those that is advocating only women over here. But what I will say is it is different. So one example that I love to give is if I am at a call it a mastermind type environment where you're with high level, high achievers, I can't tell you how many times I have been asked how I'm managing it, right? Because I have three kids. As they start peeling back and they're like, wow, you have three kids. Wow, you have multiple businesses. Oh my gosh, how are you doing it? Oh, your husband must really be one to step in and take charge there in the home front. And I just shake my head because I'm like, yes, yes, he is. And yes, he does. But it's funny because John next to me, who also has, he actually has four kids, and he has a wonderful wife, he's not being asked the same questions. Mm. So it's just an interesting dynamic when you're in those spaces that I think oftentimes we as women, while there is some societal pressure on us, I think especially with social media, which again, we don't have to go down that rabbit hole, but it's a beast of a thing. There's this comparison mechanism and these unrealistic expectations that you have to work out 4 hours a day and prep healthy meals for your kids and run your business and be everything to everyone. And it's just not possible. So again, it goes back to, and I think this is when you're managing your own internal juggle struggle, is identify your values. Make sure you put the things first that matter. For me, my faith and my family are up there on that totem pole. So I know that those are things that I consistently are making a priority in my life. Once you have that foundation of values once they're laid out, it helps you make even better decisions. So then when you're saying yes to something, you know that you're saying no to other things, and you can do that gut check to say, am I saying no to the things that I've said to be most important? Am I living in congruency to what I, you know, who I say I am and what I say I'm committed to? If the answer is no, if it's detracting from that, then that's a problem. That's where you have to do that internal assessment. So I think honestly, just lay that value system down, manage your energy, give yourself that permission to show up at that 90%. It's okay. The world's not going to fall apart. And also if the floors don't get mopped, it is what it is. Like the kids are going to make them dirty in a minute anyway. So just balancing those priorities, I think, is really, really important, especially for women who are managing kind of the home and your business and all the things in between.
Great answer. Great answer. So you're an author of three books. Tell us about the books.
Yeah. So it's actually four. I was just thinking about this. I was like, it's four. It's crazy. So one of them is a journal. And that was, I think that one was actually the first where, again, Brian and I co-authored it together where we were like, we just want to put some sort of inspiration out into the world. So it's like, start each day with a positive quote, a couple things you're grateful for, and then do a wrap up of the things that happened that you're really proud of. Then we migrated into, more of the wealth planning space. So dare to dream. Play on words there, design the retirement you can't wait to wake up to. That was the first in the wealth planning space. Brian and I and another gentleman in our office all co-authored together. Then we moved into what I will say is we realized that there was a huge portion left out of that book. So that book was more of like the process in the firm of how you move from one part to another. Well, as we thought about it, we're like, you know what? There's so much that has to go into kind of the mental mindset prep when you're getting ready for retirement or any major life transition. And I'm totally going to give you a shameless plug here, Tom, because I have your book right next to me. Clarity and Confidence for Life, Living Your Financial Life by Design, Not by Default. I am so excited. I'm like halfway through it. It's awesome. I highly recommend everybody to read it. But just like Tom, you know, there's so much that you have to prepare for and to gain, again, that clarity and that confidence to move forward. So that was really what our second book was. It was almost like a prequel to the first to help people kind of vet out, what do you want? What do you want most? And here's the things to look out for. And here's the biggest lessons that we've learned along the way. So those are the two in the wealth management space. And then we wrote one for advisors. How to basically become that elite, that excellent advisor, and, you know, basically build it without reinventing the wheel. So those are the things that we've done so far. I have one more that is kind of in creation right now that might be for the ladies. So I don't have a launch date on it yet, but I've been working on it for a while, and I'm really excited about this next project as well.
What's that one? What's that one going to be?
You know, it's going to be the juggle struggle. So all these things that we're talking about, it's a kind of a long, weird story, but I was going to publish it. That publisher went underwater, and I am a firm believer that everything happens with purpose. So it just meant it wasn't the time for that to come out, and the time will be coming in the fairly near future. So stay tuned.
Any advice for new authors like me?
Oh, man. You know, first of all, I think if you have a love for impact, writing a book is a necessity. And Tom, you know this. I mean, I preach from a pedestal all the time. Like, if you feel like you have a book in you, get it out, because you have people in your life that need your message. They need your words, and they will be inspired by it. So I think when you're thinking about, you know, there can be an overwhelming feeling when you think about authoring a book or sitting down to write, or, you know, I flash back to these images of people writing by candlelight and you're working until all the wee morning hours. And there's so many great ways to do it that don't require that anymore. Yeah. There's this crazy thing called AI that can help you. There are ghostwriters, there's publishers, there's editors, there's all kinds of people that can help you on your journey to being an author. Highly, highly recommend that you take advantage of that. If you've got a message in you, and we all do, you need to put it out into the world.
It was a wonderful experience for me, and I'm really glad that I took it on, and it's been fun. I really enjoyed it. A couple more quick questions. We'll wrap it up. What is your number one piece of advice for future leaders?
Oh, man. You know, when I think about, call it leadership in general, there is a saying, and I cannot remember who said this, but I could attribute it properly. But essentially, the core message is, true leaders, it's not just what's within them, it's the people that inspire leadership in others. So my belief is that regardless of the title that you hold, you have an opportunity to be a leader by your own right. And I think that the characteristics of some of the best leaders are people who lead with empathy, who are in tune to what's going on around them, who have that high level of emotional intelligence, and who stay congruent. You know, I've used that word a few times, but truly stay congruent to what you state your values are and how you act and behave on the outside. If people can sniff out that even little bit of incongruency in you, where you're preaching one thing and you're doing another, it really shoots any opportunity for you to shine as a leader kind of in the behind. So inspire leadership in others, live by what you say, and take action. Man, that is such a great characteristic. When you can take action forward and people can see that drive come to life, and see you being willing to make mistakes and sometimes fail along the way, that's where they'll really see, like, wow, they're serious about their intent. They're serious about what they want. And I think that those are all characteristics of great leaders.
I'll wrap up with the last question that I know you like to ask. Is there something I should have asked that I didn't?
Oh, look at you. Oh, I love it. You know, Tom, I think that you asked so many great questions. And, you know, I guess I would say more of like a parting message is, you know, this journey of business ownership and entrepreneurship and all those things can be so challenging. And I would just highly recommend that if you're tuning into this, you've been listening to Tom for a while, definitely recommend finding your people. I will say that for me, the biggest catalyst of growth and opportunity in all the things that I've done, and I know, Tom, we've had these conversations before too, is put yourself in rooms with people that have done even more than you, who you would love to model after, learn from, absorb from. And I think you will find that your own growth excels and your quality of life enhances as a whole. So I think that would be my parting final thing that you didn't ask.
Wonderful parting shot. Thank you very much, Brittany, for everything. This has been awesome. Thank you for all the content and everything you do. We really appreciate you being on today.
Thanks, Tom. It was my pleasure.
Okay, Tom, how about some contact information?
For me?
For both.
Okay. Brittany, why don't you share your contact information?
Yeah. So the easiest way to connect with me is honestly on LinkedIn. It's just Brittany Anderson. Happy to make connections. And if you have questions or you want to just chat about anything you learned today, you could email me at Brittany@BrittanyAnderson.com.
And Tom, your contact information.
Just our website, FleischelFinancial.com, would be the best place for anyone to reach out to me. We have a lot of great content on there, and these podcasts will be recorded on the website as well. So they want to tune in and get this recorded, it'll be on there as well.
Excellent. A really interesting and fun podcast to listen to. Thank you very much. And most importantly, thank you for listening to the Clarity and Confidence for Life podcast. We ask you to share this podcast, rate it, and leave a review because this actually helps others find the show. Again, thank you for listening. And for everyone at Clarity and Confidence for Life, I'm RJ Malik, and we look forward to you joining us for the next podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Clarity and Confidence for Life podcast. Click the subscribe button to be notified of new episodes when they become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the hosts and or guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Raymond James. This content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional financial advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service providers with any questions you may have regarding your individual situation. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Incorporated. Fleischel Financial Associates is not a broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.